Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Can't have a burger without Megan Berg.
Cindy Burgess Gerson. What an amazing person.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme. Plus our super premium sponsors, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hello, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Pento Blender podcast. And joining me, as always, on this wonderful day is a man who always keeps his bun in order, no matter what sort of fight he's having. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Prick Special Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Messy bun, Ben.
How's it going? How are you doing?
So good. I have today and tomorrow left in Austin, so I am in bed in my mom's guest room. Yeah. Relaxing on a lovely fur pillow. I'm not sure what kind of animal was murdered for this relaxing moment, but feels great.
Yeah,
feels
that's great. Good. You got to stay warm and cozy because it snowed there.
Yeah. Right? It snowed and then it was like 65 degrees the next day. You know, it's Texas. Oh,
okay. All right. That's Texas. Good.
How is L.A. doing, by the way? Because everyone's asking about those fires. And last time I was there, it looked like it got Bel Air and stopped at Beverly Hills. Is it still in L.A. proper or is it... You know, over the rest of California.
I mean, I don't even know, to be honest. It's just a lot of fire. The sky has not been as like brown and gross as you would think it would be, considering all the forest fires. But I would say everyone around me keeps sneezing, so I think there's definitely dust in the air, or ashes or whatever. So, but for all the people locally who've been displaced, you know, our hearts are with you and stand strong and, hopefully it'll be over soon. It's terrible. One natural disaster after another.
No kidding. It's like this year in news, you know?
Yeah. 2000.
It's like, it's like you walk outside. Okay. Bel Air's burning to the ground. So where you guys want to go for dinner? Like everybody's so traumatized. I think by this point, we're just like, all right, well, let me know if you need me to come pick up you, your kids, and all your belongings. All right, just give me a call.
Yeah, there was a woman at Target today who was asking someone about a dog breeder. She's like, well, I have been displaced from the Ventura fires, and I'm here. I need somewhere to take my dog to the groomer. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. It's like someone who's been displaced. And then I was like, that's very random. That's one of the priorities is getting the dog to the groomer. But I digress.
Yeah, we love dog owners, love their dog. If you want to hear more about it, go over and listen to the bonus episode. Today it's all about dog love, dog hate, emotional support animals.
Yeah.
My show here in Austin is Bobby Bender for my mom's ladies group. Yeah. Married to Medicine, Ben's birthday weekend. It's a fun one.
Yeah, that'll be up either today or tomorrow. But, you know, what we actually really want to open the show with is some really fun stuff, which is that on Friday, all these tickets for so many shows of ours went on sale, and it was awesome. First of all, we sold out the Bowery Ballroom in 6 hours, which is madness. I thought that was going to take a few weeks. I really was like, okay, here we go. Let's see who's going to come to this. Tickets went on sale at 8 a.m. our time, and by 2:30 p.m., the entire Bowery Ballroom was sold out. It's going to be our biggest venue yet. So to everyone coming to that show, we are really excited to see what it's going to be like to play to nearly 600 people. This is...
Oh my God, we're pooping our pants. We're so scared and excited.
We also sold out...
And scared.
Yeah, we also sold out our second DC show. DC is really, wow, they really brought their A-game to their ticket buying-ness.
They really love you, DC.
They were like, come to DC, we swear we will buy tickets, and they lived up to it. They really killed it. So both DC shows are sold out. We will not be adding another one, I'm sorry to say. Boston, the second Boston show is selling well, but it is not sold out yet. And Chicago, for the early show in Chicago, I think there's like 30 tickets left. And then the late show, I think there's like 80 or 100 left, but those are well on its way. And we still have Houston. We have our Detroit show. We already sold out a quarter of that theater. So, you guys just go buy those tickets, buy them tickets. Cause we're having fun doing these live shows and we want,
oh my God, we're having so much fun. And also the Houston show, my mom and dad are coming, my sister, her brother, Jenna, her husband, a ton of my mom's friends.
Wow.
And my mom, the Tonta doll has been lost. Okay. No one can find the Tonta doll. Everyone is freaking out. So all the Canasta ladies are coming together to make a new Tonta doll.
No, just for Watch What Crap.
And it will be at the Houston show. I'm not sure how in love with this Tonta I'm going to be. So we might raffle it off over at Houston. I might just keep it. I don't know. I don't know yet. But we'll all have a Tonta doll to make fun of during the show and call a dumb bitch when she gets her cues wrong on the Crappins podcast. <Dumb bitch. laughs> Tonta, stupid Tonta. Isn't it, Rhonda? Oh, my God, stupid.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the Houston show because I kind of feel like Houston is I feel like it's the what's her name? I want to say Jane. It's not the Lizzie Bennett. You know, the one, the daughter who's like smart and intelligent and wonderful, but it's the elder sister who gets all the attention, and then the younger sisters, you know, like, but Lizzie Bennett is really great in her own way. And I feel like
Austin is the slutty hippie one.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I got more attention cause I wrote a song on a mandolin and I'm pregnant, you know, and then flip flops.
And I feel like Houston, like, you know, here we are talking about how Barry Bonham is going to be our biggest show yet. Well, our second biggest show ever is going to be Houston. That's the really big venue also. And so I feel like
it is going to be a party, people.
Yeah. I think, you know, I feel like we should do the dinner party from hell at Houston. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills dinner party from hell recap.
Oh my God. I would love that. Let's do it.
Okay. So we're going to do that. So we're sweetening the Houston deal because we've decided that Houston needs some love. And the Real House for our Houston show, which is on March 9th, we will be recapping Alison Dubois and the Housewives, the dinner party from hell episode from season one of Beverly Hills.
Okay, it's a fish.
It's a fish. It's a fish, guys.
It's officially a fish. Yeah. So get your fish.
Guys. Yeah. But today, we're not here to talk about Houston. We're here to talk about Atlanta.
Now, Atlanta, I told my mom, you should watch it. Because, you know, we'd been out drinking. And I was like, you should watch it. It's fun. You'd like Top Chef. And she's like, these housewives idiots. These fucking idiots on these shows. Oh, God, grumble, grumble. And I was like, yes, you're correct. So right when it started, I thought, oh, no, what an episode to bring her in on. Because it's like in the middle of a fight, going into another fight. She took 5 minutes and she's like, I'm not doing this to myself. And she went to bed. Now, I have a lot in common with my mother, but a distaste for the Real Housewives is not one of them. I was enthralled and in love this entire episode.
Well, you know, you should consider yourself lucky because back in April or so, when I was at home in New York, my dad walked in when I was watching Atlanta, and he walked in the famous episode/confrontation of Portia accusing Candy of having a sex dungeon. And then when they were like, you wanted to go down on me. No, you wanted to eat me out. And my dad was like, what are you watching? But he was laughing though. So he got it.
Well, this one opened. Well, first they showed the stuff from last week and they showed Marlo fixing that bun on Mimi's head, which was and my mom was like, what is that? I said, it's her bun. She said, what the hell's happening to it? I said, she's fighting, Mom. It's like sports. That's her coach, Marlo, and she's coming in to fix the bun. And my mom was like, oh, my God, don't they have bobby pins? I was like, Mom, stop asking questions. So also, I started laughing and cheering, and she said, why are you cheering now? Like, it just started. And I said, because I love that no matter what's going on, it could be like nuclear war outside, okay? It could be Tarn feathering a witch. Like, it could be any dramatic thing, and Candy will always be eating in the middle of it.
Always.
They just show a close-up of Candy just chomping down on something while she watches this fight. So
you know,
good.
You know, as I mentioned in the bonus episode, I went to the Rose Bowl flea market yesterday. And someone was playing a harmonica, and I was like, that harmonica sounds like Candy Burris. It was like, it was like, because they weren't really playing it well. It was like, now, harmonica, Riley, harmonica. It was like a candy harmonica, candy Monica.
That's funny, because I've heard a kazoo that sounded like Riley's song. I'm in love,
better late than ever.
Better late than ever. All right, Siri, stop singing. Be quiet over here.
Alexa, play Better Late Than Never by Candy Burris's daughter.
So this is the UR fight, which Nini, this is continuing from last week, where Nini is just saying UR basically to whatever Portia says. And then Portia did something really interesting and then switched it around to UR Nini. So now they're just both UR-ing each other, and it's so good. It's basically this.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
You shouldn't even be here.
You shouldn't even be here.
Bitch, I started this. Like, I started Housewives, bitch.
Yeah, that's what Nini sort of like landed on, was this proclamation. She's like, bitch, I started this. Because her voice got like real deep and raspy. She's like, I started this shit. I started this shit. I'm like, what are you talking about, Nini? Literally, what are you talking about?
I start charities, Megan. Bloop, ding, dong, bloop, bloop, boop, boop, boop.
And then Marlo started just covering her face, trying to cover Nini's mouth.
Yes. Marlo is like, can you please be quiet? I'm trying to concentrate on my next wacky costume for tomorrow. I'm thinking glasses, a kilt, a sash, a kimono. But it's a crop top kimono with maybe a belt that goes around my knee.
Yeah, I have some Dame Edna glasses. that's where I'm starting, okay? I need silence until I put the rest of it together in my head, okay?
So the best is they, like, yank Nini away from the table and, like, pull her over to the elevator. And she's still screaming at Portia, just saying stuff like, bitch, I started this shit. I started this shit, you know, whatever. Like, you would be nowhere without me, stuff like that. And the elevator door opens, and these two girls holding martinis, and you could tell they had no idea what was going on because their faces were blurred out. They didn't even sign the release. They're like, we're getting out of here. They're like, what? Could you imagine opening up your elevator door and there's Nini Leakes screaming at someone while Cynthia Bailey's like, cha, calm down, cha.
Bitch. And then you've got Portia, Nini's like, I started this. I start charities, Megan, bloop. And then Portia goes,
why am I here then? Why am I here? Why am I here then?
I was like, I don't know, but that question has nothing to do with the statement, I started this.
Well, I think that Portia was just having a coincidental existential crisis.
Why am I here then? Why am I here?
And then, of course, Nini does this thing, which I find to be a little annoying and disingenuous, which is that she tries to wrap up her argument with, I'm mad at you, Portia, because you came for Candy and she had your back. She had your motherfucking batch. You're wrong for that. I'm like, no, Nini, you're being petty. And don't try to somehow take a moral high road by fighting Candy's fight, defending Candy. You're just being petty right now.
Nini just seems like she's on something. I don't even know what she's talking about. I don't even think she knows what she's talking about. I think she's just yelling at this point random things because she just kept going,
she had your motherfucking back, bitch. Yeah. Bitch, ding dong, elevator open, bitch, yeah. Open, close, P1, bitch.
And then she goes,
doors closed, doors closed, doors closed. I have to really work on mine. I don't think I have anything even close to a Nini voice.
Well, Nini yells way more than I even do. And I don't know. I don't really have a Nini voice either. Mostly just because I do voices for people that I actually enjoy. And I just can't with her. Like, I'm just not enjoying her. And she goes, yeah, the door is closing. And my mom goes, well, she forgot to say bitch after that one. How's anybody going to know what she's talking about?
Shady. Wow.
I told you. It's like a walkie-talkie, like, psh, bitch. This is Nini, bitch. Psh, bitch. Here you, Nini. I'm here too, bitch. Bitch.
Well, Nini goes down the elevator, and Portia is left with just Sheree, and she starts to cry, and Sheree's like, bloop, 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 5 second rewind. Bloop. She's like, bloop, bloop. What's wrong? You got feelings?
Seriously.
You got feelings?
You crying? You crying right now? It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. It's like, you don't get to be the self-help guru when you're the one who started all this, okay? Sheree.
And Portia, I mean, Portia was just sad. She was, you know, I mean, I'm such a sucker for this sort of bullshit. Because, you know, Portia was really fucked up last season. And she really shat her own bed. But she's like, you know, it really sucks when you get into a fight with someone and the entire table leaves with the other person. Like, they just want to break me down. And it's working. And I was like, I was feeling bad for Portia. And I'm like, I know I shouldn't. Like, I know she's just, you know, doing the typical thing that people do when they get in trouble. And then they sort of have to deal with their consequences. But that does suck. It does suck when you have someone like Nene just starts yelling at you, and Nene's being totally irrational. They have a stupid-ass fight, and then everyone leaves with her, and you're just left behind with Sheree as Sheree, like, shovels everything into a doggy bag.
Yeah, Sheree is, like, whipping out all that Tupperware she brought in her purse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sad, but it's also, you see the look on everyone else's face who are stuck with Nene. They're all looking at each other like, what are we doing on Nene's side? Stuck in this elevator with this crazy bitch, screaming bitch.
Yeah.
Like, what are we, no one knows quite what they're doing or why they're on what side they're on, but no one's comfortable on their own side, you know?
Well, no one was angry at like, Candy. Candy is like,
Sheree's like, you got puff pastry? You got puff pastry? And then Portia's like,
well, we're at dinner, and the whole table leaves, and with the one person yelling at me, and I'm no one's victim, but I don't want to be broke down. It's not healthy for what I want to accomplish. I'm a baby vegan.
Well, I hope this doesn't make you eat meat. It's supposed to lift up Portia, guys.
Yeah. she's like, the last protein I even had was a piece of bacon this morning. Like, wait, I thought you were supposed to be vegan.
Yeah, but it's vegan bacon. It's just only pork.
What? Huh? So, meanwhile, Candy is pissed. She's like, see? No. Right. And y'all made us leave before our food came. It's not right now. I love Candy's issue is always like, you interrupted the meal. Like, why couldn't you have fought like afterwards after we had our food?
I know. Candy's like, see, nah, I left a roll in the basket.
See, nah, I was just about to butter my bread because they only gave me olive oil and I really wanted butter. And I said, could I please have some butter? And they finally brought the butter out and then we had to leave before I could butter my bread. Riley.
And they gave me a little plate, and I said, what's this? And they said, balsamic.
Oliver.
What's balsamic?
Oliver, don't need none, don't want one on.
Now, Candy is never going to forgive fucking Portia because she left a bread, you know, a bread thing on the table when the fight got too bad.
Yeah.
Never
yeah,
forgiving
the final straw. The final straw was a... Yeah. Delicious sourdough roll that she had to leave behind.
You can call me a rapist, but do not take my sourdough roll, ma'am.
Leave no bun behind.
So then Nene starts. Yeah.
No, you can do it. You had a nice wind up.
I just love how they kept cutting back because Portia's like,
if you're supposed to be my big sister, why would you do a smear campaign against me?
I just love
like,
this
smear. I take cream cheese. Sorry. Little bun call.
Stole my spear. Where's my spear? So Candy, Nene's like,
she said, bitch, you want to get me fired? I never said that. A caller asked, and I said.
And then it shows the clip. Frick. What did she say?
Is what they.
Fraud.
I'm surprised you haven't
memorized
it at this point because they show it at the 7 minute mark of every episode. She goes, freaking fraud. I get rid of those two.
Fraud. Yeah.
I'm like, Nene, that's you saying they should be fired. If someone calls and says who should be fired, like, I actually understand what Nene was saying. Like, listen, they just asked me, like, if you had to get rid of anyone, who would you get rid of? And she's like, freaking fraud. But she wasn't like, well, I like everyone, but if I had to get rid of two, maybe freaking fraud. She was like, oh, get rid of them. They are bringing the show down. It was, you know, like, you're not, like, Miss Innocent, Nene.
And then she does her whole just repeating things over and over so until people agree with her. She's like,
she's making it seem like I went all out saying, fire Portia, fire Portia, fire Portia.
By the way, I would like to thank the one person out there who got my Clodore joke from Game of Thrones last week. Thank you very much, and thank you for the image that you made me of Nini in Game of Thrones.
Yes. to prove my point. Thank you. I did not get the joke, but I now know exactly what happens to Hodor.
Don't tell. Do not tell. I know exactly. Hodor is the new Game of Thrones. I mean, he wins the Game of Thrones, okay? He's the new king, okay? That's a spoiler. Sorry, everybody.
So, but the thing is with Nini is that now, she's fired up, and she's saying, she's talking about Portia, and she's saying, you know, the biggest issue is that she just doesn't admit to anything. I'm like, you know, Nini, if there's one person who can never say that, it's you. You are the biggest non-admitter of anything. Every single season, there's some stupid shit that, like, someone calls you on, and you explode, and then you use that for the rest of the season to be angry at them. And that's bullshit, Nini. You gotta get it together.
Yes, and then, of course, Kenya is jumping right on the bandwagon. She's like, well, according to her, she never even did anything wrong. And I was like, shut up, Kenya.
No, Kenya's she's not jumping on the bandwagon. She is fanning the flames because she is playing the long game against Portia. She has, season after season, she has been chipping away at Portia ever since she was called Miss America instead of Miss USA.
Yeah, she'll never forget it.
Never.
And so I'm screaming, as I always do as I watch this show, shut up, Kenya! Like, I'm yelling at the TV. And my mom goes, well, I don't know why you don't like her, but I can tell you this. She's only wearing makeup on one of her boobs. She goes, why wouldn't she wear makeup on both of her boobs? Go back and look. Rewind it. Why aren't you looking? Go back and rewind it. I was like, Mom, I've had enough of Kenya's boobs, okay? But noted. I put it in my notes, okay? She's like, I'm going to bed. Like, okay, well, I'm glad you made your final statement of the day about Kenya's uneven boob makeup. Yeah. Have a great sleep.
Well, I think it's a pretty, I think it's a valid comment. I think it's worthy of Watch Our Crappens. I think we have pointed out far less significant, far more insignificant details. So I will go back and I will look for that uneven boob makeup, and I will report back with my verdict.
Do, and when you've got it, text my mom and tell her that she was right, because she's only going to let it go once you've told her she's right. Otherwise, for the next 2 days, she's going to be like, did you rewind it? Did you see what I was talking about the boob makeup?
Well, maybe,
did you see it?
To be fair, maybe Mark does not allow Kenya to wear boob makeup on both boobs.
She's like, well, he likes a strong woman. And he's going to tell me which boob to put my makeup on strongly, because he likes strong women.
Yeah. So, Candy is, you know, they're still all talking about Portia, and Candy's like, you know, hey, Portia should have just admitted that she threw shade on Dish Nation and just moved on with it. But instead she's acting like she didn't. But I'm like, you know what? I agree with you, Candy. I actually think Portia should say that, but Nini should say that too. Like, the fact that Nini acts like she's so blindsided by this accusation is ridiculous to me. And I keep on saying it over and over again, but they keep on bringing it up over and over again.
Yeah, I just basically accept that Nini's a wrong cow, and she's wrong about everything. And I'm not going to like her, and I'm not allowed to turn her into a burger. So I just wait until she moves out of the goddamn street so I can keep driving home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, I think Portia has the stronger observation, which is that Nini has fucked over Marlo, Candy, Kenya, Cynthia, and, you know, like, when is Nini going to be held accountable for how she's done this to really all her friends?
Yeah. And she's like,
you know, now she's trying to start a bullying campaign. And these people are upset with Portia for being Portia.
Which I'm just going to keep forever in my heart, because that's like
just
the sweetest
thing.
Portia being Portia.
Yeah. Just Portia being Portia. Don't hate the Portia, hate the Portia. Hey, why you hate Portia?
But you know, I'm surprised the women have really not put all those pieces together. I mean, you go back, it's Kim, you know, Nini has fucked over Kim. She's fucked over Sheree. She's fucked over Marlo. She's fucked over Candy. She's fucked over Kenya. She's had a fight with every single person. And in her mind, she probably says, well, I'm the queen. They always come for the queen. Game of Thrones. But really, if you're having issues with all these people, then at a certain point you have to realize maybe there's something that I'm doing that's causing this. And it's not just that you're too fabulous or too wonderful. Maybe you have problems.
Yeah, the only thing she's got in common with the queen from Game of Thrones is a really bad wig. Okay, that's it. A really bad blonde wig that doesn't make any sense.
Now, see, I didn't know there was a blonde queen. See, that's a split. Just kidding. Just kidding.
They're all blonde on that show. You only have power. It's just like modern times. It's like modern times in Texas. You have the most power when you're blonde. but also, Nene, of course they remember that Nene fucked him over, but the squeaky wheel gets a grease, you know, and Nene is nothing if not a squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was thinking of that saying the other day because there's so many, like, Texas-y sayings, like, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, or that girl is one cuckoo short of a nest, you know, stuff like that. And I was thinking, but the squeaky wheel needs grease, you know? So I don't really like that saying.
How about if the squeaky wheel, how about instead of greasing a squeaky wheel, can we just replace the wheel? Get a better wheel that doesn't squeak?
Yeah. How about just we get a hoverboard? Okay.
How about the future with no wheels?
Yeah, how about we listen to Michael J. Fox and just start riding around hoverboards and forget about wheels altogether?
Quiet, gentle hoverboards that only go. The hoverboard, it's not a squeaky wheel, it's just a gentle burr that causes mild attention.
The squeaky Rosie gets the grease. Thank you, Mr. Jetson. So Nene is like, well, we're never going to be friends. But you know what? I'm okay with everyone. I'm fine with Portia. Wait a minute.
Shut up, Nene. You have to, like, get it together. I'm sorry. This is not – I'm sorry. Are you hearing my, like, iced coffee swish? Is that really annoying?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, I just heard the last ice, you know, crush.
Just pretend like I'm wading through a pool of ice. I'm not drinking anything. I'm just merely walking to the microphone. I'm in an icy pool, and this is just me
over a hoverboard.
The squeaky iced coffee gets the sip.
The squeaky ice gets the bin.
The amount of Foley that comes out of my side of the podcast is really unforgivable.
I should have more, but you know, I got that mic where I have to be really far away. I have to be really close for you to hear it. It's like, am I much louder now
or right now?
Oh, before. Is your gain all the way down? Is that why? I think my gain is up a little bit. So it's like picking up all sorts of different things, like swirling ice in my Starbucks venti.
Well, I'm on my travel mic. I'm not on my brand new mic setup that I have back home. Oh. I'm on my travel mic again, so I have my old one. So I can make all sorts of noise, and people just can't hear me, y'all.
Oh,
like,
God.
See what I just did?
The rush of a directional microphone.
Dancing. Yeah, I just did a time step right now and tap dance. No one heard it. No one heard it.
Yeah. And yet, oddly enough, Dom is giving you low eyelid stare.
he can sense it.
No, I'm just kidding. He's not even here. He sensed an amateurish tap step.
Yeah. He's like, wait a second. That was actually an out-of-time step.
Anywho. So it's the next day. It's San Francisco. And we see Cynthia hanging out with Marlo and Sheree. And Portia is on – they're just hanging out. And Portia is on the phone with her mom and talking about it the night before. And Portia's mom was like, well, as I don't like the way Nene was talking to you, and I will not talk about her in front of the group anymore. It's like, ooh. the unforeseen repercussions of this feud.
I love that no matter when Portia talks to her mom, she's like, hi, mom, what are you doing? She's like, getting ready to go to a barbecue. Why is Portia's mom, like, living her best life? Like, every time Portia's mom is on screen or off, she's eating something or about to eat something fantastic.
I know. I'm a little jealous.
Me too. And she's always looking, like, gorgeous. And she's, like, eating mac and cheese with her hands. I'm like, wait a second. This is just not a fair world, okay?
She has, like, one of those. It's like, you know, when you go to the UPS store and you need to get, like, you need to get, like, styrofoam peanuts in your box. They hold the box under that giant, like, plastic thing, and the peanuts just fall out. That's like her with mac and cheese. She just got one, and she just holds, like, a Tupperware under it. She shakes it, and the mac and cheese just, like, glops out. She just lives a great life.
Her best life. And she's like, well, I cannot believe that a woman at 50 years old would act like that towards a woman that she once called her baby sister. I'm like, have you seen how Portia treats her own sister?
Yeah. I cannot believe a woman at 50 would treat a woman who acts like she's 12 like that. I can't believe
that. She should at least treat her like she's 14 and tall enough to ride this ride. I was like, okay, thanks. Glad we called you, Mom. So Sheree's like, well, I'm nervous about today because my assignment is to do something for myself. So I thought maybe we should split up because that's for myself.
Maybe I'll wear jogging pants. Also, I hope Nene has reinforced that bun.
She's brought some extra hairspray just in case.
Yeah, she's brought a cult gun. You know,
I've never honestly seen a more delicious bun than Nene's, because every time they show that shot of it unfurling, or every time I've seen a gif of it, it really makes me think of a cinnamon bun. It just looks delicious. I just want to eat that bun off her head.
Well, it's like someone's got to try and make her likable. They're like, well, Nene's still a cow, but remind people of Cinnabon. Maybe they'll keep watching till next week.
Just the way it was wrapped around was exactly like a cinnamon bun. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just projecting a cinnamon bun on it, because I think we talked about that last week.
I know. I hated Nene 5 minutes ago, but right now I feel like she's delicious.
She's deliciously hateable.
Yeah. So she comes outside. She's been drinking already. She's like, hi. 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 And Portia's like, oh, look. Martha's got crazy glasses. Mine are crazier. I'm like, okay, now we're going to be fighting with crazy sunglasses. She's got, like, I don't even know what Porsches are doing.
They look like some sort of steampunk binoculars that were, like, shaved off at the end and put onto glasses. It was, like, it was crazy. Or, like, a Rococo. Like, she went to, like, the Palace of Versailles and then decided to, like, copy everything she saw, every swirly leaf she saw on the wall into her sunglasses.
Who told, was it Portia? She's like,
Candy, let me help you onto the trolley. I'm going to help Candy because she's like Dora, girl.
And I didn't know what that meant. Dora the Explorer.
I somehow missed that moment, actually. I think I was still marveling in Portia's crazy sunglasses, which, as you said, totally upstaged Marlo's crazy sunglasses.
Yeah, it was like a sunglass fight. And then Cynthia's like, well, there's a lot to see, child. Which is why I bought 4 different pairs of Cynthia Bailey eyewear pieces. She goes, there's a lot to see, child. It reminds me of New York in that way. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Most cities, in fact.
Yeah. She's like, look, it has so many buildings. It reminds me of New York in that way.
I'm very excited. I was speaking to the front desk, and apparently there's a prison on a kitchen island. I would like to see that.
No, Sheree's like, where? Where is it?
Tyrone? You got Tyrone?
You got Tyrone? So Sheree's like, well, sister over there at the Fisherman's Wharf, and you can come to Chinatown with us to keep everybody from fighting.
Yeah.
And so Sheree's like, everyone's just sitting on this bus, like bored with each other.
Trolley. It was a trolley.
Oh, the trolley. Yeah, the trolley.
Yes.
And Sheree's like, so, Kenya, how you feeling? And Kenya's like, thank you for asking. I got the video today. It was edited for my grandma. I'll let you see it. Like, wow, way to raise the party. Yeah. Let's raise the roof on this trolley. Hey, do you have an Apple TV so we can fling this video that Kenya hired the Donkey Booty producers to make up her grandma's, like, favorite moments from Miss Universe? Fuck out of here, Kenya.
Cynthia's like, cha, I don't mean to rain on the parade here, but this is a little sad, and I was just about to make a really hilarious comparison about how the sidewalks here are like sidewalks in New York, because they're both flat and around buildings.
Wow, look at that. You have an iPhone with a video. That, you know, that reminds me of the iPhone in Detroit right now. Reminds me of the iPhone I saw in Detroit.
So Kenya is talking about her grandma, which is sad. And then Portia starts to cry under her giant sunglasses. She starts to wipe away tears. Like, you could hear, like, the creaks and the groans of, like, the cables lifting up her sunglasses, like a set, like a backdrop in, like, a movie theater, so that we should get her finger under there. It was like, it was like the thing that knocked Bret Michaels over at the Grammys 1 year.
Yeah, Bret Michaels. It was, like, harder on Bret Michaels than diabetes.
Well, he got a stroke. It caused, like, a blood clot that caused him to have a stroke. So,
oh, my God, I take it back.
Take it back. It was so mean. Late. Why'd you make that mean joke about Bret Michaels?
Oh, my God. Bret Michaels. For anybody out there who's crying right now about Bret Michaels, tell him I said diabetes. Okay? Love you, Bret.
Just remember, every rose does have a thorn.
Every rose has a diabetes. Okay?
Yeah. So
Portia's like, oh, my God. I am crying.
because this really hits home. Because one time I had an uncle too. Oh!
Look, wait a minute, you're stretching, okay?
She's like, we both know people who could have been on Apple TV if this trolley had one, and we just can't get past the bull.
Yeah, so she goes, she like scurries off to the back of the trolley, and so then Cynthia's like, Cha, let me go with you. So she goes to the back, and she's like, Cha, what's going on? She's like, oh, well, I'm just a little scared because, you know, it's a trolley, and I don't want people to troll me. Like, Cha, it's a trolley, not a trolley. Oh. She just doesn't want to be bullied on the trolley.
Stop doing the trolling campaign.
It's, and then, it's a trolley campaign. She's like, I like this. Cynthia goes, you know, if someone is getting upset, including Portia, you know, I have to help them because I'm bigger than all of this. Now, Portia, have you tried these semi-tinted aviators?
That the Bailey I wear? Listen, listen, Portia's feeling sad, and I'm not one to kick someone while they're down. I wait for them to be on top of me.
So Cynthia's like, well, oh, wait. So she goes, first of all, Nene's like, ugh, you know, of course. And Candy's like,
now, San Francisco. Trolley. See, now, trolley.
Like, what's up? She's like, it's a lie. And Candy's like, Candy goes, I guess she's emotional about something.
See, now, she doesn't deal well with heels.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in because, like, I had an uncle, and now we're going down a street that goes left and right and left and right and left and right. Like, what sort of city is this?
I don't want to be in Switzerland.
Like, we're in San Francisco, Portia. Like, Portia has no idea where she is at any time.
She thinks she's in the Alps.
These hills.
And Candy's like, beep, beep. And Marla goes, it's because you guys aren't talking to her. And Nene goes, okay, now, wait a second, glasses.
That was amazing. So I'm like, see, that's the Nene I like. Thank you. Nene is back. So I guess maybe at like low altitudes, she's annoying, but at high altitudes on a trolley, she's hilarious.
If Nene didn't feel the need to just be a mean, mean, awful human being, she'd be fine. Because I think a lot of the times she's being mean, she's just doing it because she feels like she has to be. And yeah, that was never what made her fun. I mean, yes, watching people fight on these shows can be fun, obviously, but it's never what made Nene fun. Nene was always funny before she fought, you know?
I think that she's actually massively insecure, and she feels very threatened about her place in life. And I think that, you know, she's afraid she's going to lose it all at any moment. And so anytime she perceives someone coming for her, she's just going to go back like 1,000 times, even if it's irrational, even if it doesn't make sense. And I think she also thinks, oh, this is what makes for good TV, so it's good that I do this. And as a result, we just see someone who is so funny and so charismatic, who then teeters into like dark bitterness. That's just not as entertaining. It's just, it's not like when she, the fact that she is still screaming at Portia over some bullshit, petty shit, like involving things they said on Dish Nation and Watch What Happens. It's so stupid that it's not fun stupid. That's like, how am I supposed to get behind this lady right now? You know. And by the way, yes, just real quickly, I loved how Sheree, like the night before, was like, oh, well, if I had known that this argument would turn out this way, I never would have brought it up. I'm like, yeah, right, Sheree. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Like, you didn't know it was gonna happen that way. Sheree's like, what did I do?
Yeah.
That you got sourdough? You got sourdough? Candy's like, no. Candy's like, still mad. So Cynthia is going to get in trouble. Cynthia's going to get in trouble now because Cynthia's telling Portia. She's like, look, Portia, child, I get it. Because everybody's been through this with Nene. I've been through with it. And then they show the clip of Nene on Watch What Happens or a reunion or something being like,
just Watch What Happens, well, again.
She's like, yeah. She's like, well, Cynthia doesn't bring anything to the show. She's boring, you know. And she's like, and here's what you have to do to get over it. You know, you just have to basically let her have her way and then tell her she's correct. And that's,
like, I was like, that sounds like a great friendship.
That's how you get along. She goes, what she needs you to say is, you know, you hear her and then she has to receive you. It's like, shut up, Cynthia. Okay. You sold one pair of sunglasses. Okay. Thank you for making a fucking effort. So then Nene, Sheree's like, well,
you should be nice because you cared about each other. And Nini's like,
I cared. She didn't even care enough to help me.
Come on, Nini. So let's just get to the Fisherman's Wharf. Because
why not?
Shrey goes, look. Shrey goes, look. Looks like we're coming to the Fisherman's Wharf.
Is that so funny? Fisherman's Wharf. Portia like dives down under the trolley like, incoming. No, it's not a Fisherman's Wharf. It's a Fisherman's Wharf.
I hate Snow White.
No, it's not the Fisherman's Seven Dwarfs.
I did not support this wharf. I did not support this. Listen, all we are saying is give peace a chance. But I wore a condom.
No, it's not Fisherman's Warts. It's...
I think prostitution should be legal.
No, it's not Fisherman's Wharf.
So let's see.
So basically,
Cynthia's like, well, I'm ready to go because I got the opportunity to talk to Portia, child. And Nini's all mad. And Marla goes, you flip-flopper.
I actually thought it was a really cute moment because Cynthia's like, well, I was going to Chinatown because I wanted to have some like one-on-one time with Portia, but I already filmed that scene and I just really want to go to Fisherman's Wharf. That's what she said. She was like, I just want to go to Fisherman's Wharf. I don't know. For some reason, I thought that was like really cute. She just wants to go get tchotchkes and have like some middling chowder or whatever is served there.
So they're standing in front of Alcatraz, and you know, so Sheree's like blowing kisses across the water.
Blowing kisses in the wind.
And they get some pictures taken, and then over in Chinatown, Sheree, Marlo, and Portia are together, and Portia goes,
I love Chinatown. I step off the trolley warts, and I say, wow, now I'm in Tokyo.
It's like, oh my God.
Which we know is a suburb of Costa Rica, which, as we also know, is a city in Mexico.
Which you have to travel through a wardrobe to get to. Okay, we all get it.
Fisherman's wardrobe.
So they go to one of those places that's doing like the Chinese lettering with those pretty pins, because I can make fun of an ignorant ass Portia, but I'm an ignorant ass Rondel, okay? And she's like,
I want to write my own message, something sexy.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Trey's like, can you get this out to jail?
And then, meanwhile, over on Fisherman's Wharf, Nini and who was there? It was Nini and Candy and Cynthia, was it, and Kenya, I think. They start talking about Sheree's man, and they're like, and Nini's actually met Sheree's man, and Nini's like, yeah, he's a con artist. And I was like, wow, that is shocking. Not that he's a con artist, but that Nini said it so calmly. Because I would think that she'd be like, he is a con artist. And she's like, oh, yeah, he's a con artist. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, she like, said it in that, like, he's a con artist, and, like, looks down at her
first.
Yeah,
I was like, because, Nini being conversational, like, not being, like doing, like, drag talk.
Yeah, Nini's not yelling. She's like, he is a beef for blowjob 27. Like, okay, drag queen bingo. So Nini's like, well, Sheree's taste in men is confusing, but... if she's found in love with a prison baby, I'm all the way there for her. And so Candy's like, so, you know, this man. She's like, well, I met him before she did. What was he doing? He was a con artist. And then Kenya even looks uncomfortable at that. She's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm on Nini's side. Please make this stop. I'm not used to feeling uncomfortable. And so Candy's like, well, did he con you? And Nini goes, I'm too smart for that.
Well, remains to be seen. Yeah. Well, I like that Kenya was like, well, you know, Sheree is safe because, you know, that Chateau Sheree isn't even under her name. We don't even know whose name that's under. So he won't be able to con anyone out of that.
Yeah, she's like, don't tell Tyrone Velma's name, you know. So Sheree is back over with Sheree and Marlo. Sheree's like,
let's have a party.
Yeah. They decide they want to do something fun to cheer up Kenya since she's feeling a little blue these days. So Marlo comes up with the idea of a totally spontaneous idea of, hey, let's do a wedding ceremony. You know, since none of us went to the wedding, let's do like a funny wedding. They're like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's shop for trinkets. So they start like
Force is like
that could be a double-edged sword. On one hand, she could kill us, and on the other hand, maybe she could get some cheese. And on the other sword, maybe she could cut my bagel open. But with the other sword, maybe she could stick it through the top of a club sandwich, and it'll stay together.
So they're shopping for trinkets, and there's just like this very little scene that I really enjoyed. It's not barely even a scene where they go to some place in Chinatown, and Portia asks for something from the cashier or clerk, the guy working at the store, and he like doesn't speak English, and she has a look on her face like she watched someone get murdered. She's like, "What? They have the languages?"
Yeah, so good. She's saying,
"No hablo Espanols."
She goes up to him and she goes,
"What you got for us?"
And he just looks at her, and Marlo's like, "He doesn't speak English."
Maybe he was just shocked by Marlo's gold skirt, crazy glasses, Prada bag, and like weird sweatshirt, which I'm sure all were like designer and cost thousands of dollars, but put together it was like a strange, like hipster fail.
Yeah, Dame Edna's huge in Chinatown. Huge. He's like peeing himself. He's like, "I cannot speak." So at nighttime, Cynthia is holding Kenya upstairs for this big surprise, you know.
Yeah.
And Marlo has found the wedding location, which is just a room in the hotel. It's like a ballroom in the hotel, you know.
Yeah.
But Nini has entered. And who entered? Oh, Portia brought all the queens, right?
Yeah. So basically, they're all arriving in the conference room, and first Candy. Candy shows, it's like, I think it's Candy is there, maybe Nini's, pretty much everyone there is except for Portia, Kenya, and Cynthia. And Candy's there, and they tell Candy that, I think Marlo tells Candy that Mark is coming to the fake wedding, and Candy's like, "What? Say it now? Riley, say it that Mark is in New York, and drama, don't need none, but see now, hey, Mark is coming." And so she's like, Candy is like, fully convinced, and she has that look on her face where her eyes are big and her mouth is just in that big smile, like. And then Marlo
loved her bowling ball glitter eyelids too.
Yeah, she could not. She was like, she was like about to shit herself. But then Marlo like basically reveals that they have this giant cutout of Mark, flat Mark, and Kenya's like,
Nini goes,
"Ah, you're so full of shit."
I like that they have flat Mark like flat Stanley. You just dress him up and have your nieces take him all over the world with them for pictures.
Yeah.
But Nini's like,
"His hands don't look well."
Flat hands.
Yeah, because his hands were tucked up inside. And actually, Portia was there. My fault. And he, like, flat Mark falls over at one point. And she goes, "What is wrong with him?"
And Portia goes,
"He has a weak back, child."
And Nini's like, "My wedding gift to Miss Daly," which is Kenya, "is to put my differences with Tink Tink to the side." I was like, I'm not totally sure what that means, but I think she's talking about Portia.
Yeah, I'm going to just guess that she's talking about Portia there.
So then at this point, Portia then like opens up a side door. And this is, by the way, a very low rent party. It's like fluorescent lighting. I mean, this is where like previously it was clearly like a, I don't know what meeting took place there, but it was clearly like a small session for like math tutors or whatever. So they're in there.
Yeah, there's still like paper plates all over the chairs from the continental breakfast.
Yeah. So Portia opens up a door and like 12 or 15 gay guys come in, and I was like, oh my god, it's like the never forget white party gays and gals and seafood soiree sponsored by Pontiac party all over again.
Mimi's like, "Where's the shrimp, John? Where's the shrimp?"
Yeah.
Portia's like,
"I was in the trolley and it went clang, 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 and then all these gay guys got on. We're so lucky."
Yeah. So, so Kenya does.
These gays were hilarious, okay? Because they are so, like, the stereotypical. It was like a sketch where a bunch of people were playing gay people, you know? Cause like,
it was.
This is, like, the sound of all of them. Yes, everything. What? Stop off. Like, what?
It was very Christopher Guest.
That's everything. Yeah. And they were all holding these paper doves that somebody made them.
Oh, but I didn't notice that.
They were holding them with their pinkies all out. You know, like when fancy people take a drink from a cup, their pinkies, every single one of them was out while they held the thing. I was like, oh my god.
And there was one guy who was up at the altar, I don't remember what he was wearing. It was like a red t-shirt of some sort, but I don't remember specifically what it was. But to me, it reminded me of like when you see someone wearing like a Tasmanian devil t-shirt, you know? And like at one point they told him to like shut up and he was like, whoop, and he like snapped into place.
Oh, so Kenya decides she's just going to have a good attitude about it because she was the one who threw the divorce party for Phaedra last year.
Yeah.
Which sent Phaedra over the edge. Yes. She's like, that whore Kenya, how dare she? She's the one who tried to whore it up with my husband in a hot tub in Chilibriano or wherever.
Yeah, so Kenya shows up and Candy's like, here comes the bride, here comes the bride, here comes the secret bride.
I love that Candy didn't even bother Googling the lyrics to Here Comes the Bride.
She just kept saying it over and over again. She didn't even do All Dress in White. She's like, here comes the bride, here comes the bride, I don't get enough money to sing the rest of the lyrics, bride.
See? So let's see. Candy's like, I'm not understanding her process. Wait, what did she say? Said something like, she's like, I don't understand why we can't meet the real Mark Daly. Yeah. I'm not understanding her process right now.
Yeah. So they have the whole wedding. And then afterwards, they're like, okay, gays, you can leave. So as the gays,
they're like, yeah, it's everything. Bye. Step off. Shady shade tree. Bye.
So then Portia pulls Candy aside and apologizes again. And is basically like, I know you're not feeling me, but I just want to apologize again, and, you know, I want things to be cool. And Candy is like, see, no, okay, I just want to be fun. Like I just want to be in a room, and everything's fine. It's fine. She's like, okay, thanks. And then Portia walks away, and Candy does, like, this big old eye flare, like, ah, my fingers were crossed during all that.
I am texting myself. Fingers behind my back, jeez. Whenever Candy gets mad, she like rolls her eyes and then starts just swiping at her phone.
Yeah. Yeah, Portia, I think, still does not realize that once Candy writes you off, you were written off. Like, Candy is done with Portia. Like, it is over.
Yeah.
Well, she feels like I wronged her, and I want to take accountability. I'm going to accountability the lilies of accountability. Okay, Candy?
She's like... thinking she's got an accounting degree now.
Yeah,
she's exactly. Like, I'm going to do your taxes.
I got a CPK. No, that's CPA. CPK is a restaurant.
Ooh. I love pizza kitchen.
Sorry.
So let's see. No, it's okay. No,
I keep on making all this ice noise.
So now they're going to the train to go to Napa. So they have to take like a train and then a bus.
Well,
and
yeah.
Portia goes,
so, wait. What are we going
to
do?
And she goes, well, we're going to go to Napa, and we're going to do it on an hour and a half on a train. And Portia's like,
wait, then we got to go someplace from a train?
Well, I think she was confused because they were taking the van up to the train, because Napa has this famous wine train, as seen on Top Chef, whatever season that was. And so she was just confused by that. And I, meanwhile, was distracted because Cynthia was wearing her a big yellow caftan, once again proving the theory right that she only wears beachwear.
Yes, and a different pair of sunglasses again.
Yeah.
She's ridiculous. It's like she's the entire gas station display case.
I also like that Candy was like, well, at least she knows it's not the Underground Railroad.
So Portia's like,
well, I went pee-pee before the train, and so, of course, I got stuck in front of Nene and Kenya. Yay!
So she's trying to be really nice. Like, she's trying to start small talk.
Kenya and Candy, yeah.
Yeah, Kenya and Candy, sorry. And she's like, the waiter comes over, and she goes,
do you have baby vegan options?
And the waiter's like, of course we do. And Kenya goes, how long are you going to try to be vegan? And she goes,
3 weeks.
And Candy goes, how long you give it? Candy goes, 3 weeks.
Candy's like, well, see, now, you was looking like a little chunkier there for a second. See, now, vegan.
Yeah, like, what the fuck's going on with Candy? Like, now she's just being me. I don't like when Candy... I like when Candy's above it all. I don't like when she's a bitch. Because Portia goes,
well, you know, guys, I was 175.
And Candy goes, yeah, you was getting kind of chunky there. Okay!
Marge is like, you're right. Okay, I'll have the brisket, please. I'm like, it's not vegan.
But it's a vegetable. Brisket.
I only eat cows that eat grass.
So, Kenya's like, well, glad you guys brought it up. Because my husband likes curves. But, you know, he wants me tight. Like, to have curves, but also be tight. And he hates when I wear makeup. So I just put a little bit on now.
I'm like, a little bit? You're wearing, like, rain gutters on your eyelids, okay? Like, you've got humongous lashes. And she's like,
he loves a strong woman. But, you know, he doesn't want me to be too strong. Because I have to catch myself sometimes. Like, am I being too strong? Because I cannot be an alpha woman.
What the fuck has happened to Kenya?
I know, because now she's talking about how he likes to say, like he'll, because he doesn't like it when she wears a lot of makeup, so he'll tell her, hey, can you, he'll tell her to take off the makeup and be like, you're wearing too much, take it off. And Kenya's like, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, the really cynical part of me is wondering if she's setting herself up to have some sort of storyline down the line where it's like, he was controlling me, I didn't even realize, and now I'm liberated.
Yeah, so yeah, she is. That's what Kenya always does. She's done it with every boyfriend she's ever had on this show, and she will be doing it with him. And there's a reason he wants to stay away, but there you can't stay away. Because the more you stay away, the more she paints you however she wants and then makes you out to be a monster when she's done with you, fucker. So have fun with that, Mark Daly.
So at the other in the other booth on the train, Shrey, Nini, Marlo, and Cynthia are talking about Tyrone. And they're like, so we hear he's a con artist. And Shrey's like, no, he's not a con artist. He just, it's merely security fraud. Just security fraud. That's all. I'm like, oh, only that. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, because Nini goes, she goes, well, I do like my man. He's incarcerated. But when he was out, we had a great run. And then he goes, well, he's going to come out tricking those stocks. She goes, tricking what? Tricking what? And she goes, the stocks. You know, like he was tricking when he went in. And she's like, uh-uh. No. It was not stocks. It was securities fraud and wire fraud. Because my man knows how to work wire. Okay? Wire fraud and securities fraud. Tell your friends.
You got electric? Can't have electric without wire.
He stole someone's Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi fraud.
All he did was, yeah, he logged on someone's Wi-Fi. That's it.
So Nini's like, a con artist is a con artist. There's no cherry on top. He is in prison. Bloop, period. Bloop, bloop.
Signing on to American Online. Okay.
So now Portia is stuck alone with Candy because Kenya, I think either Kenya went to the, I think Kenya went to the bathroom or something like that. But she, either way, Portia's talking to Candy and Portia's asking about like escape and Candy said, yeah, we were going on tour. We got through all this bullshit, but it's all good. And Portia makes a joke like, oh, good. I was like hoping that we could make up because I was like, I want to go to that show. And Candy's like, I'm not inviting your ass to my show. No, Portia. That's not the way it works. You do not get to come to Escape.
Nini, come here. Come here. So they're like, what did she say? Marlo's like, what did Portia say to you? And Candy's like, well, she said she saw it for a part. And whatever I remember, I was like,
they're like, what?
Train, Raymond Vineyards, auto parts, or wineries.
Like, wait, can someone reboot Candy?
Snap her on the head. Okay, unplug her and count to 10.
that's my attempt to make the restart sound. So anyway,
hey, the earth is lighting up and down on her. That's not the internet yet. Just wait for the earth to be solid green. Okay.
So the ladies finally arrive at a place called Raymond Vineyards, and there's this guy, I forgot his name, Bob or something. He greets them. He like runs the vineyard or something. He's like this flirty, weird dude, and Marlo has now put on another pair of very crazy sunglasses. She's like, well, I'm not going to let Portia outdo me again today. I'm wearing some that look like a funhouse with two holes in them.
Yeah, pretty much. And he's like, oh, ladies, I'm so attracted to your beauty. Jean, Jean, Jean. And these girls are not even going to play with him. Portia's like,
well, no one's talking to me. I'll scrunch some grapes with my feet. Slide to the side. Roger Rabbit. Roger Rabbit.
But the other ladies are like, I'm not even getting in there. And that looks disgusting. And then Marlo, like, deep-throated some grapes and stuff.
Yeah, that was crazy. He literally, like, he had, like, a bundle of grapes. And because he was feeding the women grapes on this tour. And he was feeding them, like, seductively. And then he gives Marlo, he dangles the thing over Marlo. And she just literally deep-throated the whole thing. To be fair, I think Kenya or Nini, someone, like, pushed Marlo's head into it also. But it was, like, very intense. And then, after all this flirtiness, he suddenly is like, oh, by the way, I'm happily married and I have children. And he's not even wearing a wedding ring. And they're like, what is up with this?
Yeah. Oh, so then they go have some wine. And he's like, oh, you will love this wine. It is made by John Legend. And Nini's like, well, I'm not going to give anybody a blowjob for that.
Yeah, she's like... That wine is good and all, but I don't think I'm going to be going on social media no time soon to ask if I can blow for a case of it, who I can blow for a case of it. By the way, I also have to mention something that I thought was kind of crazy and was overlooked was before they started drinking the wine, because now it's nighttime, they all changed into a different outfit, and Nini was wearing like a top that had like sort of like these long tassel-y sort of things. She was shaking them. They're all shimmering, sort of like a Tina Turner situation. And the guy goes, oh, I love those chains. And he goes and he swipes them. But he basically was like swiping along like by her breasts or her stomach. I was like, that is gross and it's inappropriate. And like, I don't know whether he was hitting her boob. I know he wasn't. I know the whole thing was like, I'm hitting the chain. I'm not groping you. But I was like, this is not the right climate to be having this moment. And I know it was, you know, taped several months ago. But still, it's like, ew. I was like, this is a weird moment. And I think it's strange that no one reacted to it.
Yeah, I, for one, am shocked that Jean-Pierre was inappropriate. No, yeah. I just can't. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. So they have their wine, and then they go back to the hotel, and Marlo has arranged some kind of a dinner in, like, a wax museum. Where were they? It was all red. It was crazy.
They were at the Vineyard. So this is why Nini changed.
Oh, wax museum.
This is why they're started talking about, like, the John Legend shit. So, so at this point, Kenya has left because she has to go on a red eye for her grandma's memorial. And so so they're all hanging out, having dinner at this vineyard, and they start talking about Kenya's relationship with Mark. And the best part is because they're talking about Mark. Has anyone met Mark? Candy. We learned that Candy and Todd did like a drive-by of Mark's restaurant. And they're saying all these comments about Mark, and every time they start talking about Mark, the producers keep cutting away to Flat Mark sitting at the table. And I was like, it's hilarious that Flat Mark is even there, and B, that they keep cutting to him as if he's reacting. Like, what do you think, Flat Mark?
Yeah, so they immediately start shit-talking him, and Marla's like, let's take a vote. Well, Candy said something first, but then she was innocent later. I thought she said something like, ooh, isn't it fishy that we can't meet Flat Mark? And Marla's like, let's take a vote. Who thinks non-flat Mark is even real? And Cynthia's like, I will not be part of this conversation about Kenya. And she goes to the bar. And so Nini's like, what's wrong with her? Like, they're not being mean at all. But then Cynthia is sitting at the bar trying to pretend she's crying.
Yeah.
Cynthia, thank you for making an effort this year. But you were honestly much more entertaining with the leaf blower. Just go back to that.
Yeah, please.
Go back to that.
Yeah. Then Cynthia, you know, because Nini goes out there. Well, before even Nini goes out there, Cynthia has this whole thing about how she doesn't want to hear people talk shit about Kenya. It's not right. It's just her friend or whatever. And so they're all like, where'd Cynthia go? And Candy's like, see, nah, I like their friendship. And if she wants to support Kenya, let her support her. Because she got really high. I like this friendship. Let her support her. Which, by the way, I thought was a really nice thing of Candy to say. She's basically like, listen, she's her friend. Like, don't try to, like, turn them against each other. Like, just let her support her. She'll be back.
But yeah. Nini's like, I'll fight with you later in the season. For now, I'm going to go talk to stupid Cynthia. So Cynthia's like, I just don't want to talk about Candy Child. And Nini's like, but you cannot stop the women from talking about it if they want to. Everybody just wants to know why you were the one that was left out when you're supposed to be her friend. And Cynthia's like,
You're right. Now I'm upset that I was left out. I'm not going to lie. Now I'm very upset, and that entire wedding was about me. Thank you for letting me cry at this bar, Nindy. Let's go back in.
Yeah. And basically, as the episode comes to a close, Cynthia admits to the group, like, I think on some level, I was really hurt that I wasn't invited. And, like, I respect Kenya. This is what she had to do to find happiness, but I was hurt. It's like, dun, dun, dun. Cynthia really was hurt.
Yeah. Cynthia can say whatever she wants about Nini hurting her feelings by saying she should get fired for being boring. But at least Nini's giving her a storyline so she can be less boring. You see? Yeah. Like, we ended this by realizing Nini's a good friend after all. Aw, hugs!
Hmm. And that was basically that. That was the episode. And there'll be more scandal and drama next week, I'm sure.
But Ja-da.
But until then, that was our episode. Go buy tickets to our shows, our live shows, before they're gone. And tomorrow we'll be back to talk some Vanderpump Rules.
Yeehaw, mother truckers. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
They Walk Among Us is an award-winning true crime podcast. From the sinister and surreal to the brutal and bizarre, join us every other week to hear more on the UK's most notorious and obscure crimes. Featuring well-known cases like the life and crimes of the UK's most violent inmate, Charles Bronson, to the sad tale of the Gibbons twins whose string of petty crimes would lead them to be trapped in Broadmoor for 11 years before their eventual release ended in tragedy. We also cover lesser-known cases like the woman who murdered her husband with an ornamental frog and kept him mummified in her shed for 18 years, or the teenager that used his elaborate online fantasy life to plot his own murder. Listen and subscribe to They Walk Among Us through Acast, Apple Podcasts, or your favourite podcast provider. We would like to thank Bose for inviting They Walk Among Us to be part of Bose Recommends.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose, get closer.